In a world filled with deadlines and screens, sometimes we forget the simple joys of life, days filled with special moments. At Inward Half, we understand the essence of these moments. Feel the difference between our breathable fabrics and flexible apparel as you disconnect from the hustle and bustle and reconnect with what truly matters. Inward Half, simple luxury for on and off the course.
Time to get up, get out of bed, fill your cup and get ahead with WKGN. 1-3-4-0.
Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios in Knoxville, it's the morning show on Fan Run Radio. Here are your hosts, John Reed and Bob Baskerville.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Happy Tuesday morning to you. It's the morning show here on Fan Run Radio. John Reed, Bob Baskerville, Sam Beard, intern Jace. It's full house. Shout out to Danny Tanner. Shout out to my friend Bob. Bob, how are you?
Good morning. I'm good. I'm feeling better. Getting there. Voice is almost back. Still stinging a little bit from last night. That Pacers game, but I'll get through it. Do all right. But yeah, happy to be here. How you doing, man?
I'm in absolute shambles.
This has become just a trend, John. Yeah.
It's something new today, Sam. Look, I'm not one to ever complain. I'm a tough guy. I keep things close to the vest. Keep my emotions and my ailments held down. But, yeah, at some point yesterday, actually, if you must know, if you want to probe, Sam, it was actually when I was in the bathroom. I went to get up, and all of a sudden my back's locked up on me.
I got a bad back right now, too.
Right. Well, you should show some compassion to me then instead of saying it's always something. Because, like, right here, right above my rib cage on the back, it is absolutely locked up, and I'm in pain.
Yeah.
I'm in a lot of pain. Yeah. I got a muscle relaxer in my pocket. I need to pop here in a little bit to hopefully unlock it. But, yeah, I'm down bad. If you hear me grunt into the microphone, it's because I've shifted. Like, just even doing this hurts.
Yeah. I think I slept on it weird because I'm in the same boat. And I didn't go to the gym yesterday. I was like, I don't want to, like, do anything to, like, make this worse. I'm just going to give myself a couple days.
Okay. I didn't go to the gym yesterday either, but it wasn't hurting at the time. I just had other stuff to do. Mm-hmm. And like I said, just kind of came on and hit me out of nowhere. And it's been a while since I've had a back spasm or whatever this is. It's been a while since something like this has happened. I don't know what's brought it on. But, yeah, like I woke up this morning and it's gotten worse. It's almost hurt. It almost hurts to breathe.
Wow.
No, yeah, if I was at the doctor and they're like, you know, tell me which smiley face it is on the pain, I'm pointing to one that's like an 8.
Wow.
Or 9. Yeah, no, I'm hurting. I'm hurting. It's a little bit too high. If it's a little bit lower, I'd be like, oh my God, is my kidney about to explode or something like that? But it's a little bit above the kidney, but you can hear my voice. I'm in pain. So, yes, I'm in shambles. Allergies is good, though.
That's good.
Got that going for us.
That's good.
No allergy issues.
Post-rain, that's big, too.
I know. Now, maybe that'll hit here in a little bit. I don't know. Maybe I should knock on this desk. But, yeah, just dealing with some back pain. What about you, Sam? Top of the morning to you.
I'm doing pretty well. Just a little sore back myself. But
sounds like yours doesn't hurt nearly as bad as mine does.
Maybe I just have a higher pain tolerance, too.
I don't think that's it. I don't think this one hurts nearly as bad. The way you're describing your back pain, that's like what I walk around with every day.
Okay.
Yeah, like you're just typical soreness is what you're
sorry,
dealing with.
I can't have some back pain.
Yeah, like I'm not allowing you to compare ours and act like we're the same. That's not what's happening.
Would you be out of commission on, like, back on the farm? Like, would you?
Oh, I wouldn't be able to get out of bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I would, especially on the farm. I'd be like, no, I can't move.
I don't know how, like, Like, how strict was that regiment for you?
It depends.
Like, I don't care. Like, get up. Your back. I don't care how bad your back hurts.
It depends on what we had going on, but typically Pops didn't like hearing me complain.
Okay, that's fair.
Typically, he didn't like hearing me complain. Just keep your ass at home.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather do this myself than have to
listen to you. Yeah. Now, if we had something super busy going on, he'd be like, well, at least come drive the truck. At least do this. And I'd be like, okay. But, yeah, like, chances are I'd be on the shelf today. And really, like, when I woke up, I was like, man, like, I don't want to go do the radio show today.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to just lay here and stretch. But, you know, duty calls. Mm-hmm. You just got to put your hard hat on and show up at the coal mines. You know what I mean? The old radio mine. You just got to go.
Grab your lunch pail and go.
Yeah, you got to clock in. You know, you don't get to make excuses. So, yep, I mean, but when I woke up, I was like, man, this is worse than usual in terms of me not wanting to wake up. This is like, I want to lay in bed and just wallow here. But time to get up and get out of bed. You know what I mean? That's what the intro says. Mm-hmm.
Fill your cup and get ahead.
Yeah, and fill this water up when I get here. Shout out to the new studio. We got a water filter here, which has been nice.
Huge.
I save so much money on water now.
Do you?
Well, compared to like 3 years ago. Whenever I used to have to come in every day with just two big old water bottles. I'd go buy. That was $3 a day. You know what I mean? Starts adding up.
Yeah, that adds up.
Not anymore. Now I just walk over to the old water fountain and stick it under the fountain. That'll add up over a long term. And I don't know if you see the little counter on the filter, but we're saving water bottles. We're saving the environment.
It's a little low, I will say, for like more like a lot of the ones that I've seen, you know?
Well, this is not a public place.
I guess that's true.
This is not a public place. This isn't the YMCA. This isn't the airport.
I just want the guys to be hydrated.
I don't know how long that filter's been in there, but I mean, like, you know, that's, it's not like there's thousands of people coming in here, Sam. Yeah. Trying to do something good for the environment, and Sam's like, well, it's not good enough. Need people to drink more water so I can see a little number higher on the old ticker. Bob, outside of your Pacers, anything good happen for you last night?
No, not really. I think it was kind of a low-key day, had a little bit of work to do, and then, just got ready and watched basketball. And the good news was I could check out of that second game kind of early because there wasn't a whole lot to follow there on the Timberwolves-Denver game.
I'm more focused on your pain, though. I don't want to talk about you getting to check out and go to bed early. I'm more focused on your pain.
My pain.
Yeah, walk me through your pain as a lifelong Pacers fan. You know, you called me at halftime. He was giddy. He was like, John, you watching?
Wasn't quite like that, but I was happy.
They're winning, John. Are you watching? Do you think they can hold on?
Look at the boys go.
Yeah, he's like,
I think this is going to be the year.
Yeah. This is what I've been waiting my whole life for. Reggie Miller crawled so Pascal Siakam could walk. I'm like, okay, Bob, I'll watch. I'm rooting for you. I wasn't rooting for him. I took the Knicks at halftime, money line. Wasn't rooting for him at all. But walk me through your pain, Bob. Game one, you're on the road. It's in your sights to steal home court advantage, to quiet MSG. The Pacers are playing fast. The Knicks are playing six people. Now walk me through the last couple of minutes, because I got the old text at the end of the game, which it's a timeless classic from anybody that roots for sports teams. I got the old officiating, horrible last minute or so by the refs, bleeping horrible minute or so by the refs.
It was
a bad
actually minute. Sam triggered me. He's the one who said something first. And I was like, well, now that you mention it.
Sam said, that's why I don't like the NBA with like one of those like sideways smiles. That was a very weird thing to text, Sam.
It was such a sad way to end a game.
Yeah, it wasn't you didn't even hit us with an emoji. You hit us with like a colon, you know, and then a slash. Like a little
that
goop.
Was like the not mad, just disappointed, you know, like just
no, it conveys that. It's just weird that you would send that. Like back in my day, you know, that's what we had to do to type. You know, if I was wanting to wink at a girl, I had to do semicolon parentheses if I was trying to flirt with a girl.
I've had to do smiley faces in my life with that.
Really?
Yeah.
You haven't grown up with emojis?
I wasn't born on emojis.
I don't know if I believe that.
No.
Your first phone didn't have emojis? Mm-mm. What was your first phone?
One of those little slide guys.
Was the iPhone not already out? You just didn't get one?
I got my brother's old one, I think.
I was going to say, because the iPhone came out in 07. I know you didn't have a cell phone before 07.
No, 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 no.
But they just eased you into it. It was like, here's like an old one you can play games on or let you text on.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Maybe the first iPhone didn't even have emojis. I don't know.
That's probably true,
I feel
too.
Like it did, but maybe it didn't.
Yeah, so back to the game. Yeah, you got to understand the Pacers and the Knicks, like I was saying yesterday, it's kind of a nice throwback to the 90s. But, man, there was a lot of heartbreak during that time, too, and felt like I knew this game was going to go down to the wire. That I knew. I just didn't like the way it finished. It was a great game, too. I mean, both sides. But I knew there was going to be trouble. There was a call in the first half where they called a foul on Brunson, and then they reviewed it and reversed the call and said it was a blocked shot and New York got possession of the ball. And the review, even the announcers were like, "What? Brunson went into him sideways with his body. That was not a foul." I mean, it was – they're going to get the calls at home. That's just how it goes, you know.
Now, are you in a Pacers group text?
I have a couple friends, yeah. It's not a big group text. It's just a couple guys.
How was the group text going last night? A lot of complaining?
No, it was pretty quiet, quite honestly, because we know. You know what I mean? You can't get too amped up.
Okay, then you're taking that path. Like, seven-game series, still a lot of basketball? Or, like, we know, like, the NBA is going to screw us because we're the Pacers and we're going against the Knicks?
Yeah, no, I think that was some of it.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, like, we exchanged thoughts at halftime, and one guy just said, same thing I did, love the pace. That was about it. Didn't really, you know, just still have a whole other half. It was tough. It was tough. The other thing I hate, and I would have said this before last night, but it truly impacted the Pacers last night, is in the NBA that if you challenge a call, even if you get it right, you lose your challenge. You lose it. I think you lose a timeout too, even if you get it right.
I feel like sometimes they give you the timeout back and sometimes they don't. I don't know if I've figured it out.
Yeah, it's just weird. And the whole thing that they don't have like any sort of range like the NFL does, where in the last 2 minutes they can't take the liberty to review the call.
Oh, no, I don't want that. No. We had that, Bob. It was miserable. We had that the last 2 minutes where they review every out-of-bounds call. And after every tip pass, every player's doing the whole review sign, and they stopped, and like the last 2 minutes would take sometimes like 40 minutes, and like I don't want that.
No, I get that. I remember that stuff too. But last night, I mean, if you were watching, you saw it. It was not a kicked ball. And now the refs, glad they own it. They came back this morning and said, yeah, we missed that.
Well, they went back and fixed that one in review though, right?
No.
The kicked ball?
No, they didn't. They never reviewed it.
Oh, that one. Okay, so there was another one that the challenge that Halliburton got called for a foul that they overturned. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and DiVincenzo flopped, and I mean, it's just whatever, man. It's just how it goes.
At any point in your group text, did anyone start beating the drum to bench Halliburton and put in T.J. McConnell and give him more minutes?
Yeah, I got to tell you, we all agreed, like, I think we're just so conditioned that Halliburton should be in there. We were all like, holy cow, man, he had 6 points and didn't take a shot in the fourth quarter. And we didn't really understand that till after the game. I mean, McConnell, you have to understand, if he's on your team, you always feel like you're playing with house money. He's not a sure thing by any stretch. But he did play great last night.
It was pretty good against Milwaukee, too, in that closeout.
He was, yeah. He's
had two good back-to-back games. And, it was really just any guard in except Halliburton, I mean, who's just gagging up and just throwing up all over the place, Bob. I mean, it seems like that Cinderella run's kind of over for him.
Yeah, he's
seems like he kind of stinks, actually.
He doesn't stink, but he looked a little spooked.
6 points.
Night.
Only 6 shots. I mean, come on. What are you doing out there, Tyrese?
I'm coming away trying to feel a little optimistic, though, because don't know. I don't think Josh Hart can play 48 minutes for six games.
Yeah, they are trying to just throw conventional wisdom out the window in these playoff series, and I do think it's eventually going to catch up to them. It's just a matter of when. So, yeah, we'll dive into that game. A statement by the Wolves. I feel like that's the story of the day. Unless you got something, Sam, from Monday Night Raw that you noticed because I didn't watch. So, you know,
you
maybe.
Didn't watch?
No, I keep it on the DVR. I don't watch every.
Watch it live.
I don't watch every episode every week. I typically watch the big ones, and then I'll have a DVR in case a segment happens I want to see, and then I'll go back, and I usually just listen to a podcast recapping it. It's too much wrestling, you know what I mean? I just give me 45 minutes of a recap, and I'll go check it out if I need to. So I didn't know if you saw anything that we need to discuss.
I just fall asleep with the TNT on with that game, and then there's wrestling guys staring at me in the face when I wake up, so that's about it.
That's a different one. That's AEW. That's different. Okay. We'll talk some NBA and that fraud Tyrese Halliburton coming up after the break. It's the Morning Show on Fan Run Radio.
I hate UConn, so maybe I might have been a little biased there.
You hate UConn and you like Indiana, so I got a good chance to maybe see some bias come out. I don't remember your take either. I don't remember if you were one of the people who's like, hey, you got to call it. Three seconds left. It's a moving screen because – I thought that the call at the end of the Pacers game that people were mad about the moving screen, I thought technically it was a moving screen, but I think it's a screen we see in the NBA, you know, 95% of the time that they don't call. Now, I don't necessarily want them to call them,
yeah,
especially in that situation where it didn't lead directly to a shot. But, yeah, I mean, it was one that was a moving screen.
Yeah, I excuse me. I don't doubt that – like you said, technically it could be called a moving screen. It's just moment in time of the game, and in this whole notion, you've been for the most part letting these guys play really hard all the way through the game. It just really felt, and we've been seeing some of this recently, it just felt like the refs took the game out of the players' hands a little bit. That's all. It just and of course it stings a little more because it impacted my team, but you know, I that's my only thing, and you could see that on social media from a number of people, not me, but others, where they were saying, "Can you just, man, let the players decide the game? That's all. It just within reason. You know, it doesn't turn into a bloodbath or anything." But that just felt very, very, one of those either way calls, at a minimum. So it was tough. It was tough. I was really more angry about the missed call of the kicked ball. That's the one that got me most, and there was nothing you could really do about it. And then there was the time, and the Knicks were able to challenge it, and rightfully so, reverse the call, where the Knicks were trying to get the ball in, and Nembhard got up on Brunson, the ball went out of bounds. The one ref couldn't even see it, who was right there. He asked for help. He wouldn't even make a decision, and somebody else came in and said it was Pacer ball. It wasn't Pacer ball. It went off Nembhard's foot.
Great sell job by the Pacers bench.
Yeah.
The woman assistants on the bench was doing a good job of selling it.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no doubt. But it just felt like it was not the refs really became more of the story at the end. That's what I hate in any game.
Yeah, no one wants the refs to become the story. It's tough in physical playoff games that are close where every possession feels so big. So like it's like everything is dissected. But, yeah, there are a couple of just mistakes that you can't make. The last two-minute report is going to be very long. And I wonder about Jalen Brunson and at what point we just have a conversation about his tactics. Because as a Hawks fan, I had to listen to people whine and complain about Trae Young the last couple of years. And this guy does everything Trae Young does. And, like, I get it. Jalen Brunson's cooler. He is. He doesn't seem as unlikable as Trae Young because Trae's got the hair and he's skinny and he's always yelling at the refs in a mean way. Like, I get it. The presentation of Trae Young is not as cool as Jalen Brunson. But I listen to Knicks fans chant bleep Trae Young for a lot of the same stuff that Jalen Brunson's doing in terms of jumping into players on jump shots and just trying to draw fouls and do all those things that some people used to call cheap and not playing basketball. But so far, everyone's still just like, wow, Jalen Brunson, 40 points. He does it again. And he's awesome. Like, I've become a Jalen Brunson fan, but I just want some consistency.
I would agree. I would agree.
You're going to hate him by the end of the series.
I already hate him.
Okay.
Although I think I hated Josh Hart more last night because he was everywhere. But Brunson, you know, I think I said to you when I called at halftime when I was.
John, we're winning by six. Did you watch that second quarter? We got it.
To be clear, here was the tone. John, it's Bob. You watching? Hey, I'm pretty happy. That was it. It was not like, we got it.
We look great, Bob.
Do you think I can take some time off to go to the championship parade in June?
But I said on that call, I said, if they can just try to tamp down Brunson, they can win this. You know, they can win. It just seemed like last night it's impossible. I don't know, man. He is playing at a different level. I mean, what, fourth straight 40-point game in postseason? He's in one of those rarefied air categories again, like we were just talking about Anthony Edwards.
I know at one point he had 18 points in the fourth quarter. I don't know if he scored after that to get into 20. I think he might have finished with even more than 18 because there's a couple minutes left and that happened, and I know he had some free throws down the stretch. 14 of 14 down the free throw line. 14 free throw attempts should kind of prove what I'm talking about in terms of him just baiting in these foul calls, but it's really just Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo. Like, I don't know what the hell's gotten into those guys, but they combined for 49 points. Dante's hitting pull-up threes in transition, like one-on-four fast breaks. And you're like, what the hell is he doing? And he's making them.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy, man. And yeah, so the stat that came out this morning, so Brunson is one of four players now with, he ranks second, I should say, the most consecutive games with 40 points in postseason history. Top of the list is Jerry West with six. And then there's three people behind that, three players tied with four. And Jalen Brunson's one of them. You can imagine who one of the other ones is.
LeBron.
Surprisingly, no.
Jordan.
Yes. And then there's one more, and he's a Knick. Was a Knick.
Bernard?
Yeah, Bernard King.
So I don't think Melo did it.
So, I mean, Brunson's just obviously on a heater, and he's in some really rarefied air. And, and so the Villanova 3 just killed Indiana last night. Again, Josh Hart's just a hell of a player. When you consider all that he's doing, and again, we've talked about it, he's 6'4". I mean.
Yeah, I was surprised that you said you already hate him because I get it being on an emotional side, but like he's the type of player that everyone wants to root for and rally for, like as he's 6'4 and just the toughest guy on the floor making every loose ball. Sam, now did you watch last night because you sent the text about being done with the NBA or why you don't like them because, oh, they called a moving screen. Everyone wants them to call moving screens, but then when they call one, you start crying about it. Wah, wah.
Well, because I just feel like that.
I had the Pacers money line.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that was the cries of a man that had the Pacers money line.
Your tweet about Rudy Gobert was a man who had the Timberwolves.
No, I hadn't taken anything, but guess what? I still took the Timberwolves. I just got a couple extra points.
Nice.
Yeah, so like no, the Timberwolves. I've been riding them.
Yeah, you should.
But no, I didn't take the Timberwolves before the game. But I think Rudy Gobert. Although I think people said the wind was too much for him to fly back, and that's kind of why they couldn't get the private plane in the air because it was too windy, it was unsafe, is what I saw some people saying. I don't know if that's true or not, but like, hey, I'm going to miss game two of the playoffs when we have a chance to really put our foot on the throats of the defending champions. And, oh, I had a kid. And, okay, you had a kid. Get back and do your job. That's all I thought. Especially
in the morning.
Especially for Rudy, who like is still kind of a laughing stock, and people still think of it in a negative light, and people who still blame COVID on, kind of. I mean, honestly, if we keep it real. I just thought Rudy had such a good game one. This is like his series to really show, like, hey, I'm that guy again. And then, like, he has a great game one. And then game two, like, no, my wife had a baby. I got to be here. I just thought.
And it wasn't even, like, at night either. Like, it happened that morning, you know?
That's what I'm saying.
Have a couple hours with her. Enjoy it.
I just thought it wasn't the time to put perspective and family ahead of ball.
I was with you. No, I was with you. I laughed. I got a chuckle out of it.
But walk me through you having the Pacers money line and being mad about these calls.
I didn't put any action on Pacers or the Knicks. I really haven't been betting NBA because I have no clue what's happening. But, I mean, yeah, I watched that game. I thought I think you got to settle the argument now that a college team can beat an NBA team, because the Nova Knicks are just incredible. These three guys just show up every single night and just produce every single time. Josh Hart's incredible. He feels like the Jemai Mashak of the NBA.
I think that's a little offensive to Josh Hart to call him the Jemai Mashak. I don't remember Jemai Mashak having 24 points, 13 rebounds, and 8 assists in a game. This man damn near dropped a triple-double while playing all 48 minutes. Mashak, look, I love Mashak, but like that is something that we need to like really appreciate. Is like Jemai Mashak goes in there and plays crazy when he's in the game. But he's playing like 22 minutes a game. He's only playing like basically half the game, so you can go all out. Like, it is crazy Josh Hart still has the energy to grab all these offensive rebounds and make all these hustle plays while also not coming off the court.
They were interviewing him during like a TV timeout. Give the guy a damn break. Let him sit on the bench.
Yeah.
I don't know, how long they can survive getting three bench points. Like, it was another one of those games where they got outscored. I think the Pacers at one point had 44 points off the bench or something like that. And the Knicks had three.
Yeah, I saw like 36-3 at some point.
It ended up 46-3.
Yeah. That's crazy. So like that's not a recipe for success. The Knicks really need to try to end this series as quickly as possible, because I do think the Miles will eventually catch up and you'll have those guys, play themselves into the ground. But not right now. The adrenaline from the Knicks crowd and the adrenaline from the playoffs holding them up. We'll see game two.
Yeah, again, I try to tip my hat to Josh Hart, because I believe if you're a Knicks fan, you got to be just so thrilled you have someone like him. If you're a Pacers fan, the equivalent to that, he's not Josh Hart, but kind of the same type of player that I'm sure another team would be annoyed with is the way TJ McConnell played. We talked about him a little bit earlier, because he's just a pest. And he's really not an offensive-minded player, but he's had a couple really, really good games back-to-back. The really telling tale, though, was, and I passed this along to my friends last night. This was from an Indianapolis writer. Tyrese Halliburton in the fourth period, no points, no shots, no assists, two turnovers. I mean, that's
fraud.
I just don't think he's right since the injury. I really believe that's some of it. And, even all the way down, it wouldn't have really mattered, but the last play he made in the game, he got off his feet and got kind of like stumbled, and it just doesn't look like him, man. So now I think between being a little banged up and maybe just this is his first time playing at this level, I just think it's in his head a little bit, and it's a horrible time for that stuff to happen. I got to tell you, man, they need him.
It's one that changes your standing in the league too.
Yeah.
And the way you're thought of and the way people talk about you. But that's happening on the flip side in the other series that happened last night. It was another really great performance by my Minnesota Timberwolves and my boy Anthony Edwards. I say mine because now I'm officially on the wagon. I've officially locked in a Timberwolves to win the championship bet. I did it halfway through the first quarter. I got 6-1. Not great odds, but they already went down to like plus 430 or something like during the game after the way they were dismantling that Denver team, who just I think is just overmatched. In a similar way, we're talking about the Knicks. Like, it was another game where you just realized the Nuggets bench just gives them absolutely nothing. They got nobody coming off the bench helping. Like, Drew Holiday is their best option. Like, and that tells you all you need to know. Anthony Edwards, Minnesota, just deep, talented, lengthy, and I think that they are my pick right now to win it all.
They look good, man. They and it felt like a whole different dimension last night. And what was ironic was you could argue their biggest defensive force is Rudy Gobert, and he wasn't even in the game last night. He didn't play. So the fact that they just positively smothered Denver – I think what I saw, Denver had 19 turnovers to 16 assists. I mean, that's that kind of upside down in the NBA is really rare. So it's a testimony to the way Minnesota, you could just feel it watching it on TV. I mean, Denver had to fight for every single shot they could even get off in the first half. It was unbelievable.
It felt that same way in game one. Denver obviously scored more points, and that was a closer game, but it felt like Denver had to play really, really good offensively to even stay in that game. Because Minnesota, I mean, for most of the year was the number one defensive team in the NBA, and the offense is getting carried right now by some stars in terms of Cat and Ant. But the defense has been great all year, and even without Gobert last night. I mean, that was probably the worst game I've seen Jokic play in 3 or 4 years. Like, just the counting numbers, I guess, weren't terrible when you just say, hey, he had 16 points and 16 rebounds and 8 assists. But, like, if you watched, he was uncomfortable. He was making mistakes. They were discombobulated. I told you they were going to shut down Jamal Murray. They just have too much length and speed and size, and he had another abysmal game. They held him from 3 of 18. You know, I was kind of seeing the board last night, Sam. Before the game, I was like, okay, give me the Knicks first quarter, -1.5. Okay, ching. And then at halftime, Bob called me, and I was like, wait, the Pacers are winning, because I didn't watch the second quarter because I thought it might be a blowout. So then I was like, okay, give me the Knicks money line. And then they fell behind 9. I was like, okay, give me the Knicks +4.5. And then I was like, okay, give me the Timberwolves 7.5. And then Timberwolves money line. I was just boom, 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 just seeing everything, just boom. Everything was working good for me. And, like, a part of that was, like, I waited, like, 3 minutes for the money line. And, like, Aaron Gordon was having to score all the points. He was 5 for 5, and, like, he's hitting open threes. He's like, okay, they're still getting beat, and he's 5 for 5. I was like, this isn't going to work. I was like, Timberwolves, hammer, hammer, hammer. And then, yeah, from that moment on, I was like, okay, he can't score anymore, and the rest of the offense is completely lost. And it played out exactly how you thought it should play out if Aaron Gordon's having to score all your points at the beginning.
A sage sports bettor, that'd be you, once told me.
Well, at least the last week or so.
Once told me that that's called chasing, right?
No. See, chasing to me is when you're
losing.
Yeah, that's called seeing the board, Bob. To me, chasing is when you're losing and you're trying to get it back. No, I was winning last night, but I was like, okay, here's a heat check. I'm seeing things properly. I'm John Nash in A Beautiful Mind before you realize he's actually just crazy and, like, all those people aren't really around and he's kind of schizophrenic. Spoiler alert. No, last night I was like, boom, I'm seeing everything, and Carl Anthony Towns has got that look in his eye. I think I said that to myself last night as I was watching. I said, oh, Cat, he's got that look in his eye. Here we go. And he did. And, you know, it's been a good resurgence for him and Gobert, because Cat was a punchline the last couple years too. And it's crazy to me what a 22-year-old Anthony Edwards has done to that whole franchise. He's given them so much confidence and, like, leadership. And, like, they're a different team.
Definitely. Nas Reed, another great game. Nikhil Alexander-Walker hit some huge shots when they were just setting the tone early.
Yeah, I mean, no, they kicked their ass.
Yeah, it was just everybody contributed. And you talked about how bad Denver looked. That was their fewest points in a home game in almost 10 years, since 2015.
That altitude meant nothing to Minnesota, and it was as impressive of a defensive performance as you'll see. As there was like a 5-minute stretch between the end of the first quarter and early second quarter where they really built that lead where Denver couldn't even dribble the basketball. And, like, Jamal Murray's yelling at the refs every chance he gets. Mike Malone with one of the more aggressive, like, challenges of an official that I'll ever see. Didn't get a technical, but, like, he came out ready to fight the ref,
yeah.
Which was so funny watching, because Anthony Edwards had a play at the rim where he got fouled. He has what he should have had, an and one. Denver calls a timeout. Anthony Edwards is trying to yell at the ref, like, hey, it's a foul. And then Mike Malone just blows by both of them. It's like, that's a bleeping charge on a play before. And Anthony Edwards is kind of like, never mind, I'm not going to argue. I'm just, like, going to kind of laugh. And then he's like, give him a technical. He just kind of drops his argument just to watch Mike Malone go chest to chest with this ref, which, to the ref's credit, I guess, he didn't give him a technical or anything. He's like, hey, it's the playoffs. But, like, it was wild seeing him get away with that.
There was a play, it was late in the second quarter, where it just really typified what the tone of the game had become. Mike Conley gets a steal. Denver's on offense. Mike Conley gets a steal and just takes the ball, I don't know if you saw this, and just kind of threw it down the court and did, like, something you would see in a pickup game. He threw it and then just spun and turned his back and started walking away, you know, walking to the bench. And it was to Ant, who went and then dunked and hung on the rim. And, I mean, it was just like something you would, again, see in a pickup game when you were absolutely getting run off the floor. It was just a showboat move, but it actually felt, it was kind of enjoyable to watch, I got to tell you. It was, it just, again, to me, typified how how much of a run out this game was. It was ridiculous.
I don't know what kind of pickup games you're playing in because we don't get invited, Sam, or at least I don't. Maybe you do. But I haven't been like fast break dunked on like that before, so I don't play at that level. Yeah. The people in my pickup games aren't dunking like Anthony Edwards and showboating like that. That's a different level. And it just really epitomizes the confidence that team's playing with right now. I mean, they're 6-0 in the playoffs. They got the Suns. They kicked Kevin Durant's ass. And, you know, halfway through the game last night, I was like, you know what? Maybe I owe Matt Ishbia an apology because we saw Minnesota dismantle Phoenix and kind of laughed about how bad Phoenix was. But, hell, maybe they're just going up against a juggernaut right now, and maybe there was nothing they could do. Maybe Matt Ishbia's right. 26 teams would trade rosters with Phoenix. It just don't seem like Minnesota's one of those 26.
So now the question looms. There's no way they get swept, right? There's no way Minnesota wins 4 out of 4.
Going back to Minnesota, that place is going to be rocking. Like, I don't know what you've seen the first two games that would make you think there's no way they get swept, because a sweep feels pretty likely for me at this point. Now, I don't know what you mean, just like, hey, Denver's not – they got more pride than that. But, man, like, it's feeling – and it shouldn't, because this team's not this same age, but it's feeling – a lot like that 2011 Mavericks-Lakers series where Dirk and Jason Terry goes in and just kills the Lakers and knocks them out and sweeps them and just wins the first two in L.A. and then goes back to Dallas and finishes the job, and the defending champion gets swept out and that team goes into turmoil. It shouldn't feel that way with Denver in terms of, you know, Jokic isn't as old as Kobe was. They hadn't gone to 2 straight finals. Like the Lakers had, or I guess I should say 3 straight finals like the Lakers had, and, you know, we're a little fatigued. But it's feeling a lot like, hey, team of destiny, best team that's peaking right now is locked in, and this defending champ, it ain't the champ we thought they were.
No, I agree. And don't get me wrong, this series is over. I really believe that's the case. But I would like to see if Denver's got a little bit of pride and can rally and at least get one in Minnesota, and, you know, which might even be more painful to lose it on your home court in Denver. But, this, again, like I was saying yesterday, I was saying that maybe we're watching the two best teams in the league play between Denver and Minnesota. I got that wrong, but I think we're still looking at one of the two best teams in the league, but it ain't Denver. Minnesota is, like, at another level, and it's kind of fun to see. It's kind of fun to see a team that's not typically in the conversation have a run. That's good for – I really believe that's good for the NBA. Some TV networks may not agree, but if you got somebody like Anthony Edwards, that's really bankable in my opinion.
Timberwolves -5 in Game 3, -700 to win the series right now. So they seem like – it seems like everyone kind of realizes, okay, yeah, Denver seems a little dead. They ain't got nothing for this team, and maybe they'll go out on their sword in Game 3 in a close game, but I still think Minnesota's going to beat them, and I just can't see. It's crazy to say, but I can't see Denver beating them in Minnesota. Like, I do think a sweep is coming. Then they'll get a bunch of rest, which maybe they don't want. Maybe they just want to keep playing. Maybe they wanted the Dallas-Oklahoma City to – a series that hasn't even started yet. Like, that's the thing is Minnesota, if they do get this done quickly – you know, that series is probably going to go on for a while, so they might have to wait a week and a half, 2 weeks before they get to play again, which is crazy. That's what we're talking about with Minnesota. But, man, they're fun to watch. They're fun to watch.
Yeah, and we'll talk later in the show about the Western series that kicks off tonight, because I think I like Dallas in that one, but we'll talk more about that later.
All right, intern Jace, let's see what you got. Take us to our commercial break. It's the first one he's done, so if it sounds bad, don't yell at Sam. Or maybe just yell at him for being a bad teacher. Maybe that's more it. But we'll come back. We'll talk some Tennessee baseball. Got Kirby Connell joining the show at 8:20. Stick with us. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's gear just wasn't up to par? Well, if I'm being honest, that was me. Just a downright
All right. Bravo, Sam. Way to coach Jace up. Jace, good job by you. Proud of you, boys.
A lot of high fives back there. Can't see it, but it's all happening.
Team camaraderie is at an all-time high.
We hit that first break, and Sam was like, let's go! He just yelled it top of his...
Our update even played all the way through. Yeah. We've checked off traffic and updates. Like, we were at a disadvantage for the first 3 months of only having three people. Now Sam's got some help back there.
We're firing on all cylinders.
And now he's got a little pep in his step. I love to see it. I love to see it. The number one morning show at Fan Run Radio is vibing. Mm-hmm. It's thriving. Mm-hmm. Your number one ranked team in college baseball, your Tennessee Vols, they're thriving as well. Number one in the country. Like I said, we'll be joined by Kirby Connell at 8:20. Bob, we'll talk about them throughout the week, I'm sure. But how are you feeling here on this Tuesday morning about the Vols?
Hey, I think anytime you can have in a major sport, have your team ranked number one in the country. I know there's been all sorts of chatter about,
I don't want to be ranked number one.
Yeah.
The guys are going to get rat poison. I don't want to be number one. There's a curse against being ranked number one. Shut up.
Yeah, man. It's like, again, ride the wave, enjoy it. It doesn't happen very often. I mean, if you look at the history where it's happened for Tennessee, it happened in 2022, and it has never happened again. So, I mean, it's rarefied air. It's something that these boys have earned. Let's enjoy it. There's still some work to do. We know that. We know the RPI ranking is really critical as well, and they're kind of on the fringe there. But, man, I'm not going to let it ruin my vibe. I'm very excited to see him ranked number one.
Now, do I think Tony Vitello was excited to see them ranked number one? No, probably not.
Right.
But that's not your job as a fan. That's Tony's job as a coach. That makes a bunch of money. That's the face of the program. I think the fans should be happy that the boys are ranked number one. I think Tony, who's trying to get the best out of the boys and to keep them focused and keep them hungry and be like, hey, yeah, you were good last weekend, but you still went 2-for-2. You still went 2-for-4 during the week. You still lost a midweek game to Lipscomb. We're not a perfect team by any means. Because Tony's been trying to really do that all year with them. Like, he's been talking all year about, like, I don't think we're quite as good as our ranking is. We got some things to work on and blah, blah, blah. Now fast forward to the beginning of May, and you're the number one team in the country. And quite frankly, I think it's deserved. I think the numbers you could point to are there in terms of you're the best combination of pitching and hitting when you combine those numbers. A&M's right there with you, but you're better than them when it comes to both. And you know, I don't know if there's a dominant team in college baseball. I definitely don't think this Tennessee team is dominant. It definitely doesn't have 2022 vibes to it. Like, it's not your typical number one team. There's no ace pitcher. Like, even like what Wake Forest had last year, you know, they had an ace at the top that everyone was scared of. And it looked like, okay, the pitching lab out there, they got some guys and they're the best team. And, you know, I would say that they almost, as far as I was concerned, they kind of broke the number one curse as far as I'm concerned in Omaha. Like, I thought they played pretty well and I guess choked against LSU, but it wasn't like they just no-showed like your typical number one overall curse, you know, teams get credit for doing.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I don't think Tennessee's dominant by any means. Like, I'm not claiming that, but like, I do think right now they have the best resume and look like the best team in the country.
Yeah, and I think, again, we know there's unfinished business. That's part of Tony's posture, as it should be, that, you know, there's a conference title they still are very much in the chase for to win. And then, again, protecting that RPI rating, which will help secure the, you know, because that's another goal, to host a super regional. So there's things that need to happen. But I agree with you. I think I think they've proven that they deserve that number one ranking. I'll enjoy it while we have it. And you know, moving on, you got to win tonight against Queens College. Can't tell you a whole lot about them, but we could have said the same about Lipscomb last week. So you got to take them seriously, and then obviously big series against Vanderbilt later in the week.
Yeah, and when I say Tennessee has the best resume, I mean just when you look at the stats and like the overall, you know, complementary pieces here in terms of offense and pitching. They don't have the best resume. No, they don't have the best resume, but they have the best stats and claim to be there when you just look at the numbers. But, yeah, number eight in RPI, it's kind of jarring to see, like, when you actually see the side-by-side breakdown of, like, the resume and, like, the non-conference strength of schedule is so bad compared to the other teams around them. And I know, like, the SEC carries some weight, but, like, Tennessee is getting credit for the 144th ranked non-conference strength of schedule. A&M 116, you know, they're number one right now in terms of RPI, so, like, it's not much better. But Tennessee down at 144, and all the other teams are in the top 100. Look at road records, too. Like, Tennessee hasn't, I guess, gone on the road as much as these teams, other teams have, outside of maybe, like, Georgia. Kentucky, for example, like, Kentucky's resume is actually really good. Like, Kentucky in pretty good shape to host a super regional. They're 14-4 on the road compared to Tennessee, who's just 7-5. So, like, just the number of games played is pretty different there, too.
Yeah.
Sam, your thoughts?
I mean, I don't think you need to worry necessarily too much about that strength of schedule ranking and stuff like that. I do think that the SEC carries a lot of weight in there, and you know, I mean, you're going through a grind every week in the SEC, and you've got to play three tough games a week. So I think that, you know, I wouldn't be too worried about that. And I think that, you know, Tony's going to have these guys motivated, and I don't think he's going to let that kind of slip away from him. And I don't think he's going to let that, you know, that focus and attention of this season kind of get away just because you're a number one team. I think he's done a great job of, you know, of kind of showing these guys what kind of mentality that they've got to bring every day. And I think even being a number one team that's kind of fallen now, I think he's probably got a little bit of extra motivation to kind of keep that going and to not let, you know, to not be one of those teams that kind of falls from that ranking.
And no, I'm not worried about the non-conference strength of schedule, but I was just talking about resume and, like, looking at Tennessee's the number one team in the polls. I think they got quite a bit of work to do if they want to be the number one, like, seed in the tournament, I guess, is what I'm getting at. Like, when I just look at the resumes, like, I don't see us passing A&M or Kentucky in terms of seeding, unless Tennessee goes, like, 5-1, 6-0 down the stretch in conference play while also winning, of course, their two non-conference games. That's all I meant by that.
Sure, sure.
Like, I don't think you're going to have the number one team in the country in the polls be a number nine seed. Like, I think that will kind of carry some weight and balance out. It's just I think the projection I saw yesterday has number two as a number two overall seed, which, I mean, you would lock in. Funny enough, I think they had Wake Forest at 15, which I don't really want any part of in the Super Regional.
That would suck.
I just don't want Chase Burns coming in.
Yeah.
Do I think the vibes would be really fun inside Lindsey Nelson? Do I think the team would really take it personally and, like, have that edge about them? Yeah, but it's just you look at the worst-case scenario, and I don't want to –
be fun for him, too.
They would. They would. And if he, you know, pissed really well, that would be a kind of a heartbreaker. So I'd rather just not. Not have to do that. Yeah, I'd rather not have to do that.
There's going to be some really good teams, though, that kind of that have slipped, I would say, in the rankings that are going to be, like, showing up there in those. They're going to get through a regional, and they're going to be a tough out in a super regional.
Anyone in particular you're talking about? I mean, Wake Forest, I think, yeah. I mean, whenever you have Chase Burns throwing at the top of a series, that's pretty scary.
I think
scary.
Like, when we brought up, like, LSU yesterday, like, that's a team that's probably not going to be, like, the highest ranked in a regional and stuff like that.
Oh, you're talking about regional, yeah. I was looking at it from, like, a super regional standpoint, matching up. But, yeah, like a regional, yeah, like LSU could get plopped in there, and that'd be pretty scary. I mean, Tennessee's played well against them. I don't think I'd be terrified, but they are hot right now. Somebody's going to draw them, like probably like ECU or somebody's going to draw them and be at a talent disadvantage and be a little upset about it probably.
You look at these ACC teams that are, like, I'm looking at Virginia, ranked 10th, but they're a little further down in RPI, and they're one that could end up in a super regional, and I think they're number one in the country in offense as far as runs scored and everything else. I mean, that's a really, really good team.
And that's one that, like, regionally would make sense, too.
Yeah,
and exactly. In terms of matching them up and keeping travel at a minimum. We'll worry about it when we get there. The Super Regional is going to be, you know, two good teams anyway, so.
It's good to – high-class problems, though, man. I'm telling you, it's good to be able to have those conversations rather than the alternative. I'm happy with it.
Lady Vols softball number two. So you got number one and number two.
That's pretty good.
Not too shabby.
It's pretty good. Who's number one in softball? Oklahoma. Are they still number one?
Yeah. Texas.
I think Texas better than this year?
Yeah. Oklahoma, they lost. They were number two, and then they lost their series to Oklahoma State, so they went down to number three.
Oh,
they
wow.
Number four, so now Lady Vols are number two, only behind Texas.
Good for Oklahoma State to get that done before they move to the SEC, because I'm sure that there are some stat they hadn't beat them in a series in probably like 20 years or something.
Something about it. It was like, it's been a while. The same way that it was kind of like in football, but that was like a little more recent, but Oklahoma State getting Oklahoma a bit more before they head off to the SEC.
I think we've got a softball segment.
There we go.
Cooking here.
I got my Lady Vol basketball expert. I got my Lady Vol softball expert. I love to see it. Good job by you, Jace, pulling double duty. Let's see if you can get us out of the hour. Hour one of the books. Kick off hour two with About Last Night. Kirby Connell. We'll talk some more Tennessee baseball with him. I'm going to ask him what Tony's message was to the team after being number one. See if Tony was actually as sad as everyone was acting about it. Maybe he was. Maybe he was. Stick with us. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.
Ever been the coach